Hi, and welcome to Tilting at Windmills, the podcast dedicated to changing the world through fiction. I'm Stephanie Silverstein, writer, thinker, person, soon-to-be-published author. More about that coming up in a minute, as well as commentary about the importance of family and an excerpt from Chapter 6. Stay tuned. As usual, we're going to start things off with the publication report. Before I jump into what I've been doing this week, I'd like to clear up some misconceptions about self-publishing. A number of people have told me that they are concerned about my plans to self-publish Winter's Silence because self-publishing firms charge you money for your book to be published, and they don't do a lot of promotion or advertising. In fact, they do none at all. I'm aware of these problems. I haven't gone into this blindly. However, I do want to point out, number one, that the firm I'm going to be working with, Catawbas Press, is a reputable firm with a website, representatives of major writing conferences, and so forth. And secondly, that whether you go the traditional route or the self-publication route, it's unlikely that your publisher is going to be providing a lot of promotion for your first novel. One of the reasons I'm doing this podcast is as a preliminary attempt at promoting the novel, and if anybody has any ideas for how to make the podcast better or how to make it more of a promotion for Winter's Silence, I would be happy to entertain them. Once again, that email address is stephanie@stephaniesilberstein.com. As far as my current promotional efforts go, I'd like to remind you all that I have a news group available both on Facebook and MySpace for discussing this podcast, getting news about the progress towards publication of Winter's Silence, and more. Check it out if you have access to these services. Finally, the time at which the ISBN number for the novel will be available is drawing closer and closer. In just a couple of weeks, you'll be able to pre-order Winter's Silence from Amazon.com or your favorite online retailer. Keep checking back for details. And that's the publication report. When Tilting at Windmills returns, family, blood and bonds. But first, music from the Donna Lee Saxophone Quartet, courtesy of Open Source Audio.
Thank you.
That was Four Odd by the Donna Lee Saxophone Quartet, courtesy of Open Source Audio. I'm Stephanie Silberstein, and you're listening to Tilting at Windmills, the podcast dedicated to changing the world through fiction. And now it's time for the topic of the week. This week's topic, family, blood, and bonds. Family is more important in the narrative of Winter Silence than it may seem. The Horowitz family is, to be sure, dysfunctional as a result of having just discovered little Alex's autism. Emily's mother, Rebecca, spends a lot of time taking Alex from doctor to doctor in order to try to find one who will tell her what she wants to hear. She's got a uncle who is alcoholic, which is another thing no one talks about, and Emily's father is concerned but too busy with his work. It would seem this is a tribute to dysfunctionality, but ultimately it is the bond of the family that allows the Horowitzes to at last get through this and see the other side. I've been thinking a lot about family recently, not so much in terms of our relationships in the present, but in terms of our roots, which is the past, and who we all should become together, which is the future. A lot of people, when they're talking about family, insist that it's important in a kind of stereotypical way. We always hear debates about family values, which tend to translate to censor this or that because it's not important to us or it's harmful to so-and-so and all sorts of control issues. So that family values has become kind of a misnomer and kind of a thing from the past. But I want to tell you that families are valuable. I believe that God did not create us to be alone. In fact, if you look in Genesis, he talks about creating Eve because it's not good for man to be alone. Not in the sense that we shouldn't all be ourselves or shouldn't be able to stand on our own, but that we shouldn't ultimately be entirely alone in the universe. And so God put us in families, and I believe these families are more important than we tend to give them credit for. We hear all the time about all the bad things that happen to people in families, not so much the negative dramas, but the ordinary dramas, the pettiness, my parents cared about my brother or sister more than me. I didn't get this toy. They said this nasty thing. This issue happened. That issue happened. And I think that's sad. I think families are meant for us to support each other. And I think that's why so many people feel that their true family is not the family they grew up with. I really don't have that much to say this week, other than to get you thinking, as I always try to get you thinking. And this week I want you to think about, what is a family? I know that Richard Bach says the members of the same family don't always grow up under the same roof. And I think that's an important concept, and I consider some of my close friends to be like family, as I'm sure you do too. But I think that our families of origin, very often, not always because there are abusive people out of there, but very often have more to offer us than we realize. We take them for granted until it's too late. We remember the negative things about them instead of the positive. In some cases, we actually throw away members of our family, and nobody should really do that, unless it's an extreme circumstance. It's so difficult to talk about what a family is or what a family should be. But I think it's important for us to record what our family was, at least. Right now, I'm going through the process of setting up a family tree on Ancestry.com, and I'm planning on, in addition to finding out as much as I can about the people who lived in my family in the past and the countries they came from, recording my own memories from today to someday pass on to future generations of my family. Because there will be future generations. There will always be future generations. And I think it's important to keep that in mind. So, in summary, all I have to say to you this week is that you, as a person, come from somewhere and are going somewhere, and I encourage you to strengthen those bonds with your family of origin, if you possibly can. And that's it for the topic of the week. Comments, questions, feedback, ideas for topics? Email me at stephanie@stephaniesilberstein.com. I'd love to hear from you. And now for this week's news headlines. The Supreme Court will hear arguments Monday about whether to ban the lethal three-drug cocktail used in most U.S. executions. Bill Bradley plans to endorse Obama-Barack for president, hoping to end the deadlock between Barack and Hillary Clinton in the primary race thus far. GOP candidates focus on the Iraq issue as a point of differentiation and contention. In Tbilisi, thousands protest the Georgian election, claiming it was rigged. A suicide bomber killed 11 people in Iraq during an Army Day celebration, including two soldiers who tried to stop him. Golden Globe-nominated actors may snub the Golden Globe ceremonies in order to support striking writers. And finally, in sports, the Jaguars kicked a field goal with 37 seconds remaining to beat the Steelers 31-29 and advance in the playoffs. And that's the news. Stay tuned for an excerpt from Chapter 6 of Winter Silence. I shuffled all the way to Mr. O'Leary's office, staring at my sneakers. I was a jail person going to see the judge. As soon as we got there, Miss Green stuck her head in. "Here she is!" She pulled away before the door could chop her head off. She pulled a knot out of her hair. "Go in!" My hands wanted to cross me, but I didn't let them. Daddy got up as soon as I came in. I forgot not to be scared of him and jumped back. "Do you know why I'm here, Emily?" Daddy said. I shook my head and squinted at him. He had shutters closed over his brain. I couldn't read his thoughts.
"Liar!"
Daddy came so close he took up some of my air. "Notes home and fake signatures and meetings with the principal? You know." He breathed fire on me. I ducked. Mr. O'Leary called me when I was in the middle of talking to a patient. He didn't want to wait, so I got interrupted. All because you can't behave. You... Look at me, dammit! I lifted my head slowly. Daddy's whole face was on fire. He took deep accordion breaths. "I think," he said, "that you have something to say to Mr. O'Leary, and to me." Daddy put his wolf eyes on me to make me cooperate. Mr. O'Leary put his cloudy gray eyes on me, too. They were trying to make their magic strong enough to melt me away. I screwed up my eyes, so they couldn't. "Come on, Emily," Daddy said. "We're waiting."
"Yes, please, Emily."
Mr. O'Leary sat down on the edge of his desk.
"You still want to be in the concert, don't you?"
I watched my shoe go around and around on the floor while I tried again to remember what I did wrong. Mr. O'Leary turned towards Daddy. "Stubborn, isn't she?" Daddy's shoulders fell down like they were sad.
"Mr. O'Leary, I don't..."
His cell phone played his and Mama's special song. "Excuse me." Daddy pulled his phone out so hard his pocket ripped.
"Hey, babe, I'll call you back, okay?"
He squeezed the phone tight. "What? Are you all right?" Daddy walked out of Mr. O'Leary's office. I stretched my hearing as far as it would go, but he was too far away already. Mr. O'Leary cleared his throat.
"Well, Emily, your daddy's pretty upset. Is it worth it?"
I watched my feet kicking my chair while I tried to think of something to say.
Once again, that excerpt was from Chapter 6 of Winter Silence, which will be available in June. Pre-ordering coming soon. I hope you enjoyed it, and hope you also enjoyed tonight's broadcast. I'd like to thank, as always, my friends, families, and colleagues for helping me to get Winter Silence off the ground. I'd like to thank Open Source Audio for the use of their music, and especially you, my listeners, without whom this program is pointless. I'd like to encourage you all, if you have any feedback at all, positive, negative, or somewhere in between, please email me at stephanie@stephaniesilberstein.com, and I'll be more than happy to address your comments or maybe even read them out on the air. That'll do it for this week's broadcast. Be sure to tune in next week for an excerpt from Chapter 7, New Music, and a revisiting of religion from a different perspective. Until then, this is Stephanie Silberstein wishing you all a good night and asking you, what have you done to make the world a better place today?